In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Please be seated. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." Can you imagine the wonderment and awe that must have enveloped John's soul as he saw such a sight? It was quite astonishing enough to gaze upon the salvation of the 12 tribes of Israel, but the vision doesn't end there. No. He sees something else. A spectacle. For now, an enormous chorus of bodies captivates him as he says, "After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number." Now for a minute, imagine if John had turned away his eyes just after he beheld the 144,000. What if he would have been content to stop there, to withdraw to his own thoughts and taking his eyes off of the spectacular panorama that was about to come into focus? Well, then the vision would be incomplete, wouldn't it? He would have shunned the whole truth which this sight manifested. Quite frankly, he would have missed the most astonishing part. But time and time again, how often do people look at the gospel of Christ with such a lens, desiring not to bear it all, but merely focusing on that thread of truth which will justify their lifestyle, their conveniences, their own personal code of living. Those that look at the gospel in such a way are missing out on the truth in its entirety. John did not. John would not shield his eyes from such a revelation because he knew that the truth behind such a vision was not yet complete. There was more for him to see. And what did his eyes behold? A great multitude, which no one could number. And he heard from them a louder song than that he had heard from them that had chosen multitude before. As they said, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits upon a throne and unto the Lamb." This was no minor assembly. For all the concert halls in the world, should they be filled with even the most magnificent of voices, could not eclipse the chorus of hosts whose triumphant proclamation thundered upon the throne room of God. John looked and beheld a tidal wave of saints flooding the throne room, exalting their God and King. And this wasn't just one specific race and privileged group of people, but people of all nations. People of all nations, tribes, tongues, united as one, for all are one in Christ Jesus. And just as Christ rests upon the throne in the center of heaven, so does he rest within the center of the heart of each of his devoted disciples. And who were they? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, Jesus says, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you know what John really saw? It fits together so perfectly with the gospel that I believe it's impossible for us to miss. John witnessed the reward that awaits those who live by the beatific call. He looked and saw the living manifestation of the beatific vision. The church triumphant in all its glory and splendor, in all its purity and wisdom, adorned in white, rejoicing with angels and archangels, powers and dominions, the ancients and the four living creatures, and all singing the same words to that same heavenly song. Salvation belongs to our God. Salvation belongs to the Lamb. And so, tonight, we rejoice in this marvelous vision. We rejoice with the hope that one day we will find ourselves among that multitude of bodies who have so sensationally cascaded upon the throne of heaven. We rejoice, but still we know that we have work to do. We are still working our Lord's vineyard. The 11th hour has not yet come, so we cannot afford to be idle in our faith. We must be intentional. We must cultivate, nurture, and grow that beatific vision within our hearts, within our souls. For that great and innumerable multitude, as John has seen, will be there before the throne of God. The question is, where will we be? Will we be there? I hope to God that all of us will be. But there's only one way to be sure. Live the gospel every day to the best of your ability. Declare Christ's truth, the whole truth, not some of it. It's not a buffet that you can pick and choose from. No, declare the whole truth in all that you do, in all that He has called you to do, and in all that He has called you to be. Each and every one of you here tonight was born to be a part of that heavenly assembly. Never forget that. Never stop living with that mindset. What a mighty and awesome God we serve. What an assembly of saints we have surrounding us. Tonight, we laud them for their sacrifice, for their triumph. And yet, I have to think that in turn, they laud us every time we take up our cross and follow Christ. For the majesty isn't in the frailness of one's body, but in He who strengthens that body to become something much greater than anyone could ever imagine. To Him be the glory and honor and power now and ever and unto the ages of ages. Amen.